Hey, here's the thing, Tom. I want to talk a little bit about, let me give you a little insight on this Colorado shooter. Give me a little bit on Joe Paul, or give you a little bit on Bill Paul.
Give it.
We've got mouths on. We can go all of it, none of it, or whatever you want to do. But guys, in Normandy, they come up on the beaches. Where were those U-boats coming in? You could hear the plinking, you know, as far as the machine guns coming. These guys are going to certain death, and they got off the boat. This is, you know, this is a bunch of guys watching a Batman movie. They're dressed up like Batman. That's their hero or what have you. You're in a movie theater. A lot of these guys are running out on their wife and kids when this guy starts shooting. Let me tell you what to go ahead and do. You rush this guy. Maybe he shoots two or three guys, but you get him down. You save some lives. You're a hero. And then you don't put this guy's face on television. Now, somebody, you know, some website's going to do it, but you don't have to do it as far as, you know, ABC News, CBS News. You don't put the guy's story out there. You don't give him any airtime. You don't go to the guy's trial.
I agree. It's just the society we live in. Everybody loves dirty laundry. He came out yesterday looking like the freak that he is, and there's that car wreck mentality that I'll call somebody. You see this guy? He is out of his mind. And you're right. They shouldn't be dwelling on him. He did an evil act. In hindsight, I agree they probably should have rushed him, but I'm not sitting in that theater at 12:20 in the morning and a guy starts shooting a gun. And some guys did, Michael. Some guys fell on their girlfriends to protect them.
Oh, I ain't no doubt about it. There was some heroes in there. You're not going to hear much, a whole lot about them. But
that's the sad, sad truth. There were several heroes that died.
Yeah.
That got shot in the head, covering up their girlfriend or whoever, and we don't know their names. Yeah. And this guy goes in like a coward with they said he had one piece of equipment that the agents didn't wear and they wouldn't say what it was. Turns out it was a thing to cover his sack.
Oh, it wasn't
a
neck? Yeah. I was thinking it was a neck. Okay.
But we'll hear all about him. He'll be on the front page. These other guys are just forgotten souls. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, these moviegoers, a lot of them, and I'm not here to pile on the victims. I'm just saying, you know, they'll go to Walmart and they'll stand in line, you know, to get Call of Duty at midnight, but when a moment comes, you know, everybody's a coward. I mean, you got to step up. I mean, that's what they ought to be telling people. You got to step on these people. If somebody got on a plane, Tommy, and tried the same thing they tried on 9/11, didn't have the element of surprise, they'd roll those guys.
Yep.
The same thing ought to happen in a movie theater. There's no doubt in my mind. I want to ask you guys a question about something.
Go ahead.
As far as Jim Paul, you know, the chancellor, the president, and Sandusky. And I haven't heard this from anybody. I haven't called and said to anybody, so probably nobody's, you know, either come on the air or said it. I haven't heard it anywhere else. What do they all have in common to allow this to go on?
The power.
Power, no doubt about it. They all belong to the Catholic Church.
Did they really?
I'm not here to assassinate any Catholics or attack anybody's religion, but I'll tell you this. They were looking over that for a long time, and I know it's gotten better. I guess it had to get a whole lot worse before it got better, but they all came from that kind of background. Hey, Vincent was a religion to them. You saw it happen in their church. A blind eye has been passed. They did no different. And the reason those penalties are so severe, and I don't look at them being severe. A lot of people can. I heard a guy that could barely complete a sentence, the other talking about it, and Roger kicked his teeth in and handed it to him. But here's the facts. They're paying interest on what they did. More kids got what happened to them because Joe Paul didn't say anything. So Joe Paul's culpable. Joe Paul, let me tell you something. People call John Calipari a rat. John Calipari would have killed that man with a baseball bat if they had told him he had it done. But he's a rat all of a sudden. But Joe Paul is a paradigm of virtue until everything comes out. So to me, he's just as culpable as Sandusky.
Well, I can't believe that going back to, 1998, that there were no other assistants, there were no other players, there was nobody else that knew this was going on but those four or five guys. I think there's some other people sitting on cannonballs, and I wouldn't be surprised if more stuff doesn't come out now.
Could be.
Well, all those years.
McCreary is the guy that started the ball rolling by telling everything. He was the quarterback that they've given the last win to. So when did he start noticing these things? And what do you do? And I'd like to say, I would honestly hope that I would react to a positive. The only thing I can liken it to is at a baseball game, when somebody yells heads up, well, you don't look up. You're supposed to cover up. And I remember doing that to my child one time, just covering up. I'd like to think that that's what I would do and not be a coward and run. But you never know, and you know what's going to happen when you're in that situation. That's why there are policemen out there, because they have the fortitude to be able to do those things and to react quickly. I hope that I do. The right thing all the time. But I don't. I don't do the right thing all the time.
Roger, I heard the guy earlier. He equated, though. You see people littering and speeding. I know he didn't use those examples, but he said breaking my law. Hey, if you had walked in on Sandusky doing what he did, you would have killed him, or you would have tried to, you'd have done whatever you could to get it to stop. You could have beat. Nobody walks out. What kind of person walks out? What's wrong with people? all these guys talking about what kind of people they are and heroes, and people are talking about, you know, as far as everything's not black and white. Just because this guy looks this way, and that was my, you know, comment earlier as far as Joe Paul and Calipari, things aren't always what they seem, guys. People need to wake up and open their eyes. That was a hell of a coach you had in there, Tommy.
I like him.
Oh, man, I love him.
He, you know, we found out he was in town yesterday, and I called Basil. I said, can you get a hold of Malzahn? If not, give me the phone number. I'll call him because I think he'll come up. And at the drop of a hat, he come up. Now, I put a shoe on the other foot of John L. Smith was in town, and we had his number. I'm not so sure that his people, and that's what it is, I don't think his he would have to confide in someone and go, should I go on this show? Gus just says, yeah, I'll be up.
Well, Gus has been here a time or two now as well. I mean, it's like when we go to those redneck capitals, people immediately thought, well, you're making fun of us and all that. Well, then after we've left, they realized that, no, we're saluting
you. Well, and he's trying to build something, too. He knows he's got to do this to get the word out.
And he's doing his job.
Yeah.
He's doing his job.
Yeah. He's got to do this, and I agree with you, buddy. And I mean, in retrospect, it's easy to say that, revisionist history, but a lot of guys didn't do it. This guy's on billboards. He's shaking hands. Yep. He's kissing babies. The guys, you know, they're putting caravans and going every, you know, they went to every high school in the state. I'm telling you, Tommy.
Oh, he's smart.
And I'll tell you this, Michael. It's going to kind of sound wussy, but I'm 57, 58 years old now, and we go on the road once a week, and we go to Lake Darnell, we go to Lake DeGray, and we got to shake hands and kiss babies and all that. And I got to tell you, I cannot fathom having to do that in two towns a day for
draining. It's a draining deal.
Oh,
yeah.
God. You think it's easy, but after about that fifth or sixth stop, you're going, geez, how many more we got to go?
If he can achieve some success with that, he's a smart guy. He's very organized. He's got a game plan. He thinks big. If he can just succeed, I'm telling you what, if he has the desire to build that program into a top 15, 20, he could do it.
I wish he would. Hey, where would you rank Stuttgart in the Redneck Capitals?
It depends on which side of town you're on across the tracks.
But if you get on the quote right side of the track, it gets pretty red.
It can get rough on either side, but it's a redneck town, guys. West Nile virus and cancer. I wouldn't advise anybody. Hey, if you get gas before you come through, don't even stop because you need to get something. Just stop in a gas station. Get malaria or West Nile virus.
Michael, where are you from originally?
Heber Springs.
Okay.
Yeah, you still live in Heber, or are you in Stuttgart now?
I'm in Stuttgart. I'm right in the middle of town. I'm in the metropolis of Stuttgart.
People have been
searching for you, I think, is what I hear. People in Stuttgart. That's why some have said you really don't live there.
Yeah. Well, we were down there a couple of years ago when we were giving away the Super Bowl tickets when we did that, and we did one down there in Stuttgart. And of course, we were giving you a shout out. I think you were new to me, but we never saw you. And that's when people said that no, he doesn't even live here anymore. He lives in Heber.
No, guys, I've lived here for 10 years, and I'm not bragging about it. It's just that my wife's from here. You know, her family's from here, and we live here, and that's just the way it goes. And hey, I don't have any problems. I don't get out of court with these people. I don't want to have anything to do with it.
Michael!
No wonder they love you so much.
This ought to be, this ought to be good. What do you think of your alter ego, Tiger Bait?
But I don't have a problem with him. I think he's entertaining. The problem I have is with people that get so, you know, he's just playing right into their hands. And you know what? He really ought to be held to a higher standard because what he's coming with is weak. Be honest with you.
Oh, there we go.
That'd be great.
We need to get those two together.
Yeah, Tiger Bait versus Michael from Sheridan. What do they agree
Sheridan.
On?
Michael from Stuttgart.
God, I'm sorry. I was just thinking about the redneck capital of Arkansas. But that would be great radio. Because I tell you, when he throws out that John chapter 13.
That's a funny line. He comes up
with some good stuff. But that his opening, Tiger Bait, that runs people off immediately. But we're proud to have you on the show. It's fun.
Well, let me tell you this. Everything this guy does is canned. He starts at your show.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all he can't. The guy could. I would love to. Hey, anytime he wants to go one on one with a great one, I'll spit on him, stomp on him, step on him. Wherever you want to do it, Tommy, I would love to. I'd love to have a debate with the guy, talk about sports or anything else. I'm not talking about name calls. I'm talking about something that.
Michael, you're more cerebral than that. He is not a cerebral caller, he is your regular old booger.
Oh, man.
Well, I'm not slapping him around. I mean, I wish we would have a couple of more Alabama fans or whatever that would talk about their teams a little bit more so we can get that rivalry going on. If we got the Arkansas-ASU rivalry going on, we'd get some ASU callers.
What I hate is hosts who will, like, I'm banning you from the show because of you. What are you banning them from? What are you doing?
Tommy, the guy changes the narrative, and that's one. You know, this is one of the worst callers. I mean, I can't listen to a lot of these shows, and I'd certainly listen to yours if I was up in time. But the callers are so horrible. I mean, they're so dumb, and they.
Michael!
Oh my God!
Come on!
Rose-colored glasses. I mean, they're thinking John L. Smith's going to win the same amount of games as Mike Petrino would have. I mean, this is going to be a rough season. Anybody that doesn't know, I wish you'd asked Harry King. I'm sure he would have told you the same thing. But it is a really low IQ state as far as overall sports. I mean, it's just Arkansas and everything else. That's why I like to see a guy like Gus Malzahn moving in and bringing some diversity because the man can coach. He's a self-made man. He's not a guy that walked down his alma mater for a job for a 10-month contract. What does that say about him?
I'm going to get accused of, as I often do, kissing your butt like I get accused of kissing Tiger Bates. But I just like having you on because it's a different point of view. It's somewhat creative. It's fun. When I turn on a certain TV station Sunday night and they have an interview with Niles Davis. Then they go out to the ASGA thing out there at Chennault, and then they do one more story, and the guy wraps it up by going, oh, and in the open today, I'm like, that should have been the lead story. That just proving what you said. There's nothing wrong with this, but if we're a Razorback town, we're a Razorback state. We are not a sports city. We're not a sports state, and there's nothing wrong with that. Just call it like it is. In Nebraska, I bet it's the same way. Yeah. I bet you turn on Omaha radio, and you don't hear nothing but Nebraska talk. But to
I'm certainly hopeful Mattingly's getting a check from the University of Arkansas because if he's not, he's one of the best mouthpieces I've ever heard. The guys are the ball coward. I'll never call the guy's show again, Tommy. I promise you I won't. The way the guy treated me.
What happened?
Short, I promise you that.
Well, because when Michael.
Wait a
goes,
minute! I thought you were a regular caller on that
he
show.
He was, but Michael go. Michael will tell it the way he thinks it is, and some of it's true of the anti Fayetteville sentiment. You know, they're the only show in town, the only trick. And I understand that Mattingly has to play the game he plays or he'll lose all his contacts because he's up there in their backyard. I understand that. But when they were talking about banning you and banning, I was like, you're going to take away. It's like taking JR off of Dallas. What are you doing? You got to have the bad guy, man. You got
to
have
him. Yeah, you used to have a regular bit on that show, didn't you?
Guys, they had their highest rating the last 3 years when I was going. The last 2 years, heads up with AP. The year before that, I can't even remember who the heck I went up against. But, I mean, that was great radio, guys. I'm a talent.
What happened?
This is what happened. The guy, I would call in several times, and the relationship got a little bit more contentious, which is fine with me. But when I would get off, the guy would unload on me. So he would say to me, to me on the telephone, he wouldn't bring it because he knew I'd step on him, like I said, Tiger Bait. But the guy would wait till I got off, and you know what the guy said? He said, I need to coach Little League baseball or something. Hey, with a guy like John L. Smith coaching this football, I'm a Bill Belichick type. I mean, what are you talking about, Pee Wee? He said, I need to have some kids. This is a guy that got sick so he couldn't have anymore. Tell me to have some kids. I mean, come on, get real.
But you're like, Michael, you have to admit, you're like Tiger Bait. When you call in and you hear those next six callers going, I hate that guy, you're sitting there going,
Tommy, you guys have a great day. Appreciate it.
Hey, Michael. Hey, bye. Michael from Sudgar Heber.
Ain't been around.